Hello and welcome to this special edition of The Big Fight. It's special because it's being done in partnership with Twitter India. So I want to welcome all of you who are watching this on Twitter as well as the handle at IndyTV. All those watching us on Twitter, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show. Fire in your questions on Twitter. Fire in, send in your comments, your questions. We'll take as many of them as we can during the course of the program. I already have a bunch with me here, and I'll start taking them. Subject that we're going to be discussing is who's going to be winning the assembly elections. Now, I know you'll say exit polls, we'll wait for the counting, but I think we have some sort of a sense of the way the trends are. And more importantly, it's time also to look at the implications of that. Who's going to win, what the margins will be, what's the sort of an impact it's going to have on politics, what's the impact it's going to have on the build-up to the general elections in 2019. So those are some of the basic themes that we're going to be discussing. We have a really, really, really special panel for you right now. We have Ashok Gehlot, who is the former Chief Minister of Rajasthan, may well be one of the people who hopes and believes could be the Chief Minister again in the future. Of course, the Congress hasn't announced a name yet in Rajasthan, whether it's going to be him or Sachin Pilot or somebody else, taking us completely by surprise. Ashok Gehlot going to be joining us in a couple of minutes. China NC is with us, the spokesperson of the BJP. Pawan Khera also joining us from Jaipur, from the Congress Party, with us here in the studio, taking many of your questions because we know what some of the political answers are going to be. Ruhi Tiwari, Associate Editor of The Print, great to have you with us. Mr. Surinder Bhadauria is leader of the BSP, has a particular bearing, I think, in one of the states that is going to the poll, which is Chhattisgarh. May have a view in other places as well, but Madhya Pradesh also perhaps. You may well make a difference if it's really a neck and neck race. And Smita Prakash, Editor-in-Chief of ANI, great to have you all with us. Right, why don't we just start off straight away by actually taking it from Twitter. Let's just take one question. Farooq Ahmed, take a simple question. Will we have a safe and democratic election without polarization? That's one question that's coming up. Polarized election, not a polarized election?
Well, we almost are done with elections. So the polarization that one saw happening, you know, it was not as much as was expected. I mean, lots of people said there'll be bloodshed, there'll be violence, there'll be extreme polarization. It hasn't been as terrible as the predictions were, I think, because people said that the lynchings and cow lynchings and all that's going to increase come elections. Fortunately, that hasn't happened. We haven't seen any kind of major violence. We haven't seen any kind of rioting as was predicted by the Cassandras. So it's been, by and large, a peaceful election. You haven't seen any violence at the queues for the voting. So it's, I think the Election Commission has conducted the elections in a, by and large, peaceful manner.
Okay. So first of the answers, we'll keep taking these questions as we go forward. Now let's turn to the theme that we're looking at. Who is going to win these elections? Let me start off with our political guests out there. Shaina, should I go across to you? Before I go to Shaina, can I just go to Pawan? Pawan, you want to stick your neck out? Who's winning the states? And let's try and have now a fair answer. What do you think is going to happen in all the states that are going to the polls?
I can very, very safely say that we are winning Rajasthan hands down. Madhya Pradesh, excellent reports. Chhattisgarh, excellent reports. I am yet to hear from Mizoram. I am yet to hear what will happen in Telangana. I am yet to really find out. I am being very honest. But I have spent a month in Rajasthan now. And I can very, very safely say that there is an undercurrent. There is this is an angry voter. And an angry voter, it really uproots governments like never before.
Okay. Mr. Bhadauria, agree, disagree, partially agree?
Well, there is certainly a trend now. We can clearly see that the BJP is on the decline. As far as what alternative will emerge, we will have to see for the results. But I can certainly say with confidence that, and I have traveled to Madhya Pradesh as well as to Rajasthan, and I can safely say that this is a semi-general election. Five states going to poll from north to south. BJP is not coming with the kind of expectations which they may have had. There is an anti-incumbency both in the states and the center. Double anti-incumbency, and it is going to affect BJP, and we can see that.
Okay, that's a theory. Shaina, let me turn to you. The overall question of who's going to win, what would be your best guess at this moment?
आवाज ही नहीं आ रहा है.
शाइना, आई एम होपिंग शाइना, कैन यू हियर मी नाउ?
इतना शोर थोड़ी आता है, बंद होती है.
Yes, I can.
Okay, China. Yeah, I was just asking you your best guess. Who do you think is winning all of these elections? Maybe take us through state by state and tell us where you think the chances are the highest for your party.
Well, clearly, having traveled the length and breadth of Madhya Pradesh, Rajasthan, I cannot comment on Telangana. But as somebody who has been on the ground, I can only tell you that whether it's the popularity of Shivraj Singh Chauhan or whether it is the absolute schemes of Raman Singh which have reached down and percolated down to the Naxal areas, or for that matter the Ladli Lakshmi Yojana of Mr. Chauhan in Madhya Pradesh, I think the schemes have percolated down to the poorest of poor, and that's why I don't see a sense of any anti-incumbency, if at all, in the days to come. Rajasthan also has been a game changer because we know that the popularity in a state where you've had one government one term, one government the other term, there has been a transform as far as the connect to public at large is concerned. So I think gone are the days of people only giving tall claims. It's about performance. If your performance is there, you will be re-elected. If you have no performance to talk about, then you will perish. I think it's imperative for us at this juncture to also see the track record of our chief ministers, whether it is Vasundhara Raje, Raman Singh Ji or Mr. Shivraj Singh Chauhan. The kind of popularity emanates from the fact that you have grassroots schemes that have transformed the lives, whether it's Mudra Banking, Ajandhan Yojana, pension schemes, insurance schemes, solar pumps, okay, irrigated land, and in the process, the development for community, which is way beyond freebies, subsidies, SOPs. It's empowerment of your life, and that's why you have seen a game changer even in Uttar Pradesh. And Vikram, let me please highlight that in Uttar Pradesh, for the first time, you had no voting on the basis of caste, creed, community, where you had Dalits and Muslims alike voting for progress and voting okay for development. You have the Congress strategists who have only tried to play theatrics and photo ops, and that clearly doesn't work in today's day and age. Okay. Politics have changed, the aspirations have changed. And I'm
China,
sure
that's
that
a,
on the
China, that's
December,
a really good China, that's a really good election speech.
What an amazing result.
China, that's a really good election speech, but is your best guess to say the BJP is winning all five? Is that really what you believe is going to happen?
No, it's not a question of five. I mean, whatever we win is great because it's a mandate of the people. This okay is a democracy. In democracy, you win, you lose. But the kind of work which has been done on the ground
okay
shows
fine
you that even after
so
15
you're
years,
leaving
you can still win an election. And incumbency is only for those who are non-performers.
All right. Rohi, who's winning?
Well, Vikram, frankly, as a journalist, I don't think my craft teaches me to sort of predict who's winning. But and also each state really has a different trend. As Mr. Khera rightly pointed out, the Rajasthan voter is an angry voter. But as Shaina said, the Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh voter isn't really so angry with their respective chief ministers. They continue to remain popular. However, let me take a slightly contrarian position here. I do not quite agree that this is a semi-final to the general elections of 2019. I think increasingly we have seen voters vote differently in assembly elections and Lok Sabha elections, specifically in this election, because really in each of these states, the state leader is bigger than Mr. Narendra Modi, just in terms of the optics, just in terms of the presence. So this vote is really not a vote on Mr. Modi. In Madhya Pradesh, it's entirely on Shivraj Singh Chauhan. In Chhattisgarh, it's on Raman Singh. And in Rajasthan, it is about Vasundhara Raje.
So that's an interesting take, because a lot of these state elections have always been seen as the Modi factor. You're saying for once there are state leaders
so who are bigger than Modi as far as this election is concerned.
Okay, so the implications for what that has for 2019, that's an interesting side question I just want to dip into. Now I will take another Twitter question. Here we have it, at SHemath26 says, in case the Congress loses this, all five states with a narrow margin, what impact will it have on Rahul Gandhi's leadership ability, effect on 2019 Lok Sabha election? Will that galvanize Congress workers to work hard for the next fight? Now, Pawan, you may disagree with his basic thesis that the Congress is going to lose, but is this going to have a major impact in 2019? Rohit says, don't think of this as a semi-final. Don't overstate that. Would you agree with that?
Uh, A, I don't agree with the question that we are going to lose. No, we are not going to lose because there is a triple anti-incumbency at work. The incumbency against the MLA, Amit Shah could not succeed in changing the MLAs in Rajasthan. He could only do 45, he wanted to do 100. There is an incumbency against the state government on various counts, in particular unemployment. It's a huge issue, it's a boiling issue. The young people, men and women of this state, are seething in anger. There is a third anti-incumbency against the central government. Demonetization and GST, now people realize that demonetization was not just a disaster, it was a theft. It was a broad daylight theft. So I think the traders are unhappy, farmers are very, very unhappy. So I know what I'm talking about when I say there is a triple incumbency out at work in Rajasthan. So the question of us losing any of these states does not quite arise, because you just go by how the BJP campaigns in these states. They are not talking about development at all. Somebody comes and says Bajrang Bali was a Dalit. In Chhattisgarh, the same gentleman goes and says he was an Adivasi. Is that the kind of narrative our country wants or deserves? We want specific answers. Why didn't you give us 15 lakh jobs that you promised for Rajasthan? Why didn't you give loan waivers for the farmers of Rajasthan? What about women's safety? Why 12 rapes every day in Rajasthan? Specific questions. You cannot underestimate the youth of this country anymore. Please don't take the youth for granted.
Right.
Answer specific questions.
The election speeches,
with specific figures.
Elections are more or less, elections are almost over now, so the elections. But okay, we hear you. That's what you feel. A couple of related questions coming in right now, actually, on Twitter. So let me just keep taking these. At Rajneel Kamat says, can state elections really determine the outcome of the national election? These states also voted in 2003, 2008, just a few months before the general elections. Outcomes were very different. That's an interesting point, Smita, and actually,
it does
happen that state
good
elections.
Good question
don't
by the Twitterer. It is true that when it happened and the BJP won the elections, they were on this high and there was the India shining, and there was a disaster at the hustings. They lost. So to think that the signal from the state elections is the way that the voter is going to vote at the center level, that would be a major disaster for any political party to think that. So I tend to agree with Ruhi that this is not a semi-final, and I don't think any political party sees that the trends in the state election are similar to the trends in the national level. I also agree with her that this is not a referendum on Modi. What is interesting to note is what Pawan says, that there is a triple incumbency in Rajasthan. That doesn't seem to be visible in the other states other than Rajasthan that he's talking about, the anti-incumbency factor and the triple anti-incumbency. What is also interesting is this refreshing modesty from the BJP spokesperson, where she says winning or losing doesn't matter. Now, you don't see that in the BJP ever. For BJP, winning every election and in a stupendous manner is what they aim for. So for the BJP to modestly
to
say
fair,
that...
I asked Shaina, you think you're going to win all five, and I think she's leaving wriggle room to saying that, okay, maybe...
I guess that, Mizoram is not something that they're going to think of.
Part of
Shaina, I'm going to get you to respond, but I'm going to come with another Twitter question and get you to respond. At Leela Mayank, we heard Pawan talking about demonetization. It's interesting that Rafael seems to have gone a little bit off the burner. You're not hearing Rafael being spoken about quite that much. Instead, you're hearing a lot more about demonetization and issues like that, especially in these elections. So, at Leela Mayank is saying, BJP in 2014 said that India is suffering through policy paralysis, but what about demonetization? Shouldn't BJP or Modi be held responsible for a policy that nearly brought our economy to a fatal end? India is still suffering from a policy decision by BJP. Isn't Modi accountable? Shaina, in case you want to respond to what Smita said, but also demonetization, is that one of the questions you're having to answer perhaps a lot more in these elections now than something like Rafael, which you may have thought you may have to deal with to a greater extent?
Firstly, let me reply to Smita ji. Yes, every election is important, but I said part of a democracy is victory and defeat. So if you're expecting a strike rate of 5-on-5, that may or may not be the case, or it may be the case. That only on December 11th we will know. But the important point here is that look at the performance, and the performance is the acceptability. That's why there is no anti-incumbency. And do understand, if we have been able to have 20 states plus, which are BJP, in the current scenario, obviously we're doing something right. If you have large dynamics of a state like Uttar Pradesh that have not voted on caste, creed, community, but have voted on development, Mr. Modi and our team of leaders, whether it's our party president Amit Shah ji or the rest, have obviously done something right. Now, I only want to say that, you know, you talk about issues. Demonetization did away with corruption, middlemen, terror funding, all kinds of malpractices of drug mafia. So there are lots of positives too. So don't make this out as if it was some wrongdoing. And as far as Rafael goes, the Congress can cry horse, but there is no misappropriation, there is no corruption. And Smita ji herself went to France and took that interview, I think should be played over and over again, to say exactly what transpired and what was the sequence of events. So I have a humble submission, Vikram. The more you bash us and our Prime Minister, the more victorious we will be. So if the Congress really has a strategy, change it.
Smita, you are now being hailed as the person who has proven that
the Rafale scam didn't happen. No, the Rafale interview was not a clean chit by a journalist to either Rafale or to the BJP. The Rafale interview were 50 questions posed to the CEO of Rafale. Now, if the interpretation of BJP is that that was a clean chit to them, and if the interpretation of that is by the Congress is that it shows them to be guilty, it's two interpretations of a same interview. As far as Rafale is concerned, the Congress president still continues to make that as an election issue. In every speech of his, he talks about corruption of what he alleges is corruption in the Rafale deal, and blaming the Modi government in favoring Mr. Ambani. So even though Rafale may not strike a chord among the people, but the Congress has not let go of Rafale being an election issue.
Okay, but maybe not striking that chord. Can I ask you, Mr. Bhadauria, before I take some more questions, and in a short time, I'm going to go across to Ashok Gehlot. I wanted to ask you, what to your mind are the main issues that seem to be resonating right now? I mean, look, Ruhi says, don't treat these results or whatever happens in the assembly elections as a signal for who's going to win in 2019. But they may well give us some sort of indication of the issues that may be having a lot of resonance on the ground. What are you picking up?
Well, this certainly is an election where issues versus non-issues are also there. Non-issues like, you know, some parties are trying to prove that we belong to a particular Gotra, or others trying to prove that they are not from that Gotra, or they are trying to prove that we belong to the most superior socialist stratum of caste, and therefore we will be able to deliver the aspirational Hindu Ram Mandir. You know, these are non-issues which are being made out by these two major national parties. But however, I must say, the people of these states are concerned about the bread and butter, unemployment issue. The farmers are also worried. Lot of farmers' suicide have taken place across these states. So therefore, the farmers, the unemployed youth, and the society at large is concerned about their socio-economic issues. And this remains to be the key concern of the entire country, as well as other states also. And responding to one of the issues that she has been harping on, Uttar Pradesh, very recently four elections were held in Uttar Pradesh. BJP was completely routed in Gorakhpur, in Phulpur, in Kairana, in Noorpur, where the BSP and the Samajwadi Party, who fought together this election, we proved to the BJP that you don't exist. These were constituencies of the Chief Minister, the Deputy Chief Minister, Mr. Amit Shah campaigned, but nothing happened.
All right, fine. Let me just, as I said, I'm going to go to Ashok Gehlot a short while from now, but let me just take some more. This entire Big Fight is a special edition in partnership with Twitter India, so I'm going to keep taking questions from Twitter. Ankit M. has a question. At Ankit M. has a question on the Modi effect and the fact that the BJP is relying too much on that. And we have Sahansu Agarwal at Sahansu saying, will infighting within the Congress hurt them in Rajasthan? The BJP seems to be progressing now. That tweet coming from Bengaluru. Why don't I throw that first to you, Pawan? Infighting, and we have Mr. Gehlot coming up shortly, so I will ask him that question also. Is infighting a problem for you? Infighting, by the way, historically been a problem for the Congress party both in well, certainly it's always been a problem in Madhya Pradesh, and there are some questions as to whether it's going to be an issue this time around in Rajasthan.
No, I think the BJP is bereft of any narrative right now in Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh and other states. So they are harping on the mythical infighting. Ghanshyam Tiwari, who went and formed another party of his own, did not come from our party. End of the day, he is from the BJP. We know exactly whose infighting is getting institutionalized in Rajasthan. So I don't think infighting is an issue at all in Rajasthan. Modi, Mr. Modi's rallies, for the first time I have seen, and I admit in all humility, people get up in 5 minutes and leave. अरे ये तो वही पुरानी बातें कर रहे हैं अरे काम किया तो कांग्रेस के नाम पर क्यों वोट मांग रहे हैं दैट्स अ वेरी गुड आर्गुमेंट आई हर्ड दैट आर्गुमेंट इन अलवर आई हर्ड दिस आर्गुमेंट इन कोटा इफ यू वर्क स्टॉप टॉकिंग अबाउट द कांग्रेस नो लेट्स नॉट गेट इट लेट्स नॉट इंटरप्ट लेट्स नॉट इंटरप्ट प्लीज लेट्स नॉट इंटरप्ट आई एम इन राजस्थान आई हैव माई ओन मैकेनिजम्स ऑफ गेटिंग विजुअल्स फ्रॉम ऑल दीज रैलीज बिफोर ड्यूरिंग एंड आफ्टर मिस्टर मोदी स्पीचेस सो आई नो व्हाट आई एम टॉकिंग अबाउट लेट्स नॉट इंटरप्ट माई फ्रेंड चाइना सेज डीमोनेटाइजेशन did everything great. Show me empirical evidence. Your own economic advisor, former economic advisor Arvind Subramaniam, really wrote a damaging piece for you. And it's a disaster, let's admit that. Even the Prime Minister now said ki galti ho gayi. Is saal to aapne uski jayanti bhi nahi manayi notbandi ki. To aap kam se kam jale par namak mat chhidkiye. Jo aapne kar diya wo bahut bhishan tha, us par aur mat kuch kariye. So, Prime Minister is not cutting any ice in Rajasthan. The issues are very clear. They are trying to divert the issues into Jati, Gotra, Bhagwan, this, that and other. It's not working at all in Rajasthan. And there is no infighting in the Congress. We are all fighting together. Yes, there is clear, visible infighting in BJP in Rajasthan. They could not even get their own president of the party, state unit of the party, for 2 months, more than 2 months, okay, because of the fight between Amit Shah and Vasundhara Raje Scindia ji.
Okay. As I go across to China, let me pick up another couple of comments from Twitter. As I said, at Ankit Ahmed said, why does the BJP look like it's relying too much on the Modi effect? So that question, Shaina, for you. Kamlesh Tiwari says that me assure Pawan Khera that Rafael or Demo has no bearing on the rural electorate, which has been immensely benefited by Modi's schemes. These voters will bring back the Modi government. It's all about rural India. Interesting sort of a comment on the day when farmers are protesting. So what impact the rural vote, whether that's entirely a correct theory or not, is something I'm going to throw to everybody. But China, is the BJP still relying very heavily on the Modi factor? We had Rui saying that in these elections, for once you do have powerful state leaders, Vasundhara Raje, Shivraj Singh Chauhan and others. So are these elections that the BJP does not, you know, and Telangana, of course, it's more on the back of an alliance. I'm not sure you have direct hopes out there. What would be your take? Is the Modi factor as important in these elections or not? Chhattisgarh, Raman Singh, so yeah, you have powerful state leaders this time.
Absolutely. I mean, we're very proud to have the most charismatic, honest Prime Minister you have seen post-independence. Look at the way he works, look at the dedication to the country, and look at the performance-based development that we have seen
humor,
in every nook
China,
and corner.
I love your sense
it's
of
all
humor.
Very well to talk about agrarian crisis. One second. Look at the agrarian crisis that you're talking about. Please understand that, yes, agitation is a part of a democracy, but when you have a basic MSP, you do away with middlemen, you give cash-rich crops, you give insurance schemes, pension schemes to the farmers, to the children who don't want to be farmers, there's an option of a mudra banking loan. The kind of development when it comes to irrigated land or infrastructure, which has been at an all-time high,
you want me to send you some data from the ground?
It is the coordination.
You
this
only benefited, profited the insurance companies.
Pavan, you were very eloquently a short while back asking China not to interrupt you.
I thought
you.
This
so
is the new rule of the game.
It's only fair that you allow, then you don't
No, you interrupted, ma'am.
Okay, let China finish.
It would have also been fair if you had pointed it out when she interrupted.
The moment you said to stop, I stopped. Be a gentleman and show the courtesy to a lady who's speaking.
Yeah, okay.
All I'm saying, I want to make a limited point.
It's
is
not
that
about a man or a woman, please. We are all in politics and let's not try and bring gender everywhere.
But development being questioned by the opposition who really has no vision plan to start with is a very, very scary scenario. And do understand that when the people have seen the integrity with which a Shivraj Singh ji or a Raman Singh ji or a Vasundhara Raje have worked, they will be sensible, and the voter is extremely intelligent, Vikram. They know exactly who to vote for, when to vote for, and when to pull the strings. I only want to say for all the participants on Twitter today who are questioning, and the questions that I saw on your screen which says that will Prime Minister Modi come back in 2019, I can assure you he will not just come back, he will shock you with the kind of groundswell and the popularity at the grassroots. Because
shock.
Gone are the days of dividing and playing appeasement politics. Gone are the days of photo ops and theatrics and sensational statements. This is the time to only show the speed at which India is working.
Okay, Ruhi, just wanted to get you in on a couple of those issues. The agrarian issue, you think it's going to be big?
Of course it is big. I mean, I don't think the BJP should live in a little bubble and believe it's not happening. It's happening in front of our eyes. It's happening in Delhi. It's something that hurt the BJP in Gujarat. It is a big challenge for the BJP in Rajasthan, Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. It is going to be a challenge in 2019. But a little bit about what both representatives of political parties said, Vikram. I think each of them is living in a little bubble perhaps, because one, China, there is anti-incumbency. You can't say there isn't, and there will be in 2019 against Mr. Modi as well. Demonetization has been an unmitigated disaster. It is on the ground. I think people, particularly the business community, still cribs about it, still criticizes it. Mr. Khera, I think you're the other extreme to say that Mr. Modi has no traction. That's incorrect. That's actually absolutely incorrect. He continues to remain a popular leader. I've traveled through Madhya Pradesh. People are angry, or people are upset with Shivraj Singh Chauhan over certain things, but they are certainly not angry with Mr. Modi. So I think each political party really needs to shed their arrogance and look at what's happening on the ground instead of trying to sort of, you know, brush things under the carpet.
Okay, but hang on. Here's an interesting question which has just come in from at Rajender Sahani. Do remember, this is coming to you in partnership with Twitter, so we're taking lots and lots of these tweets. So Rajender Sahani says, two decisions that the Congress party will change, two decisions that the BJP has taken, which the Congress party will change if it comes back to power in 2019. Want to take a shot at that, Pawan?
I think fundamentally it's about the farmers and about the youth. Like, if you read our manifesto, which got released yesterday, we've spoken about free education for girl child. The situation, the condition of the girl child of women in Rajasthan is horrible. In the last 5 years, it's really gone from bad to worse. The MSP, which they keep talking about, it has benefited less than 6% farmers of Rajasthan. So my friend China should come with homework done and with all the data at her hand. She can't just resort to rhetoric and say, oh, farmers are all happy. 85 lakh farmers have exited the Pradhan Mantri Fasal Bima Yojana because maximum profits went to the companies and the farmers are still waiting for their returns. Number three, the urea, the potash, the GST on agricultural equipment implements, that's something which is hurting the farmers the most in the countryside, and we can see the impact today on the streets of Delhi. So we know exactly what we are talking about when our priorities is unemployment, our priorities is farmers, our priorities is women's safety. And that's our priority, is not sitting in echo chambers and discussing and deciding what our priorities
are. Right, let me just...
We go out and get to know what the issues are, and that's how we arrive on these issues.
All right, let's just get a special guest now onto the show, Ashok Gehlot, a person who was once Chief Minister of Rajasthan, now of course leading the Congress charge there in that particular state. Gehlot ji, bahut bahut dhanyawad, aap hamare saath hain. Hum is karyakram mein yahi soch rahe hain aur sochne ki koshish kar rahe hain ki aapko lagta hai kya hoga, kya natije aayenge in assembly chunav mein.
कांग्रेस की जीत सुनिश्चित है. ये माहौल बन चुका पूरे प्रदेश के अंदर, जिस प्रकार पिछले 3 महीने से राहुल जी भी दौरा कर रहे हैं और जो मैसेज दे रहे हैं, चाहे वो एनडीए गवर्नमेंट के बारे में हो, चाहे वो स्टेट गवर्नमेंट के बारे में हो. और अब स्पष्ट हो गया कि कांग्रेस बहुत भारी बहुमत से जीतने जा रही है राजस्थान के अंदर.
ठीक है, पर पिछली बार अगर आप राजस्थान में देखेंगे तो भाजपा को बहुत बहुत भारी मात्रा से मार्जिन बहुत ज्यादा थे. तो अगर आपको राजस्थान में जीतना है तो एक बहुत ही बड़ी स्विंग की जरूरत पड़ेगी आपको.
देखिए, पिछली बार जो भारी बहुमत जीते थे मोदी जी के नाम से, 163 सीटें आई थी, और वही कारण, बहुत बड़ा कारण बन गया है राजस्थान के अंदर कि लोग पूछते हमारा कसूर क्या था. जब हमने इतना भारी बहुमत आपको दिया तो आपने इतनी लापरवाही क्यों दिखाई, सारी स्कीमें बंद कर दी पिछली गवर्नमेंट की, रिफाइनरी आ रही थी राजस्थान में, ब्रॉडगेज आ रही थी आदिवासियों के अंदर, डैम बन रहा था हड़ौती के अंदर, मेट्रो आ रही थी जयपुर के अंदर, कोच फैक्ट्री आ रही थी भीलवाड़ा के अंदर, करौली और टोंक जुड़ने वाले थे, रेलवे थे, प्रयास भी नहीं किए। काम कितना होता अलग बात है, पर रिफाइनरी प्रोजेक्ट को इन्होंने बर्बाद कर दिया। तो राजस्थान की जनता पूछती हमारा कसूर क्या था, ये आप सब क्यों किया। यही हमारे लिए बहुत बड़ा प्लस पॉइंट है कि अगर आप मोदी जी का और वसुंधरा जी के वादे सुन लो चुनाव पहले के, तो हमें कैंपेन करने की जरूरत नहीं पड़ेगी। ये स्थिति बन गई राजस्थान के अंदर।
अगर अगर आप कह रहे हैं कि वहां एंटी इनकम्बेंसी, अभी हम लोग भी सुन रहे थे कि एंटी इनकम्बेंसी शायद वसुंधरा राजे के खिलाफ है, वहां राजस्थान में मोदी जी के खिलाफ नहीं है, आपको क्या लगता है? और अगर वो सही बात है तो हो सकता है कि लोग आके वोट दें, नरेंद्र मोदी के नाम पे वोट दें, अगर उनको वसुंधरा राजे के नाम पे नहीं वोट देना है।
देखिए ये भ्रम फैलाया जा रहा है यहाँ पर कुछ लोगों द्वारा, आरएसएस के लोग भी हैं, बीजेपी के लोग भी हैं, परंतु ये बात इस बात तय हो चुकी है हर घर के अंदर, हर परिवार के अंदर, जिस प्रकार का यहाँ पर कानून व्यवस्था की चौपट हुई है, बच्चों के रेप हो गए, चोरियाँ डकैती आम बात हो गई, निर्दोष लोग मारे गए लिंचिंग के नाम पर, करप्शन निश्चित ऊपर तक हुआ है, आईएएस ऑफिसर तक अरेस्ट हुए हैं, उनको बचा लिया गया, और वसुंधरा जी खुद की लिंक जोड़ रहे थे उस करप्शन से मानने वाले थे, तो सीबीआई केस देने के बजाय फटाफट दे दिया लोकपाल को, दे देना कुछ हो नहीं सकता। तो ये जितने फैसले वसुंधरा जी ने किए हैं पाँच साल में, जनता से मिली नहीं है, लोगों में आक्रोश है, मैं समझता हूँ कि वो इतना आक्रोश हावी रहेगा कि मोदी जी भी आएंगे, अमित शाह जी आ रहे हैं, पर राजस्थान की जनता तय कर चुकी है कि हमें इस बार सरकार कांग्रेस की बनानी है और वसुंधरा जी को सबक सिखाना है।
गहलोत जी, अगर कांग्रेस को वहां राजस्थान में जीतना है, तो एक तो आप कह सकते हैं कि हाँ वसुंधरा राजे ने काम ठीक नहीं किया, पर आपके अपने भी कुछ वादे होने चाहिए, आपका अपना भी कुछ प्रोग्राम होना चाहिए जिसके बल पर आप चुनाव जीतना चाहेंगे, और फिर 2019 का में भी वो शायद फैक्टर्स अहम हो सकते हैं।
देखिए पहला तो काम करना पड़ेगा फाइनेंशियल मैनेजमेंट का, जो इन्होंने पूरा बिगाड़ रखा है। दूसरा जो किसानों की प्रॉब्लम्स है या रोजगार की बात है, दलितों की बात है, पिछड़ों की बात है, आम जनता की बात है, व्यापारियों की बात है, जितने मुद्दे हैं ये हमें प्रायोरिटी में रखने पड़ेंगे। कल हमारा घोषणा पत्र आ चुका है, अधिकांश जो वादे किए हैं, राजस्थान पहला है देश के अंदर राज्य है जब दो बार मैं मुख्यमंत्री बना हूँ, दोनों बार हमने पहली कैबिनेट के अंदर ही मैनिफेस्टो को हम लोग रखते हैं कैबिनेट के अंदर एजेंडा में, और उसके बाद में चीफ सेक्रेटरी को सौंपते हैं, ये वादे करके हम चुनाव जीत के आए हैं। आपकी जिम्मेवारी है कि इस मैनिफेस्टो के आधार पर तमाम स्कीम बनेगी राजस्थान के अंदर, ये हमने दो बार प्रयोग करके देखा है, बहुत कामयाब रहा, इतनी वैल्यू करते हैं मैनिफेस्टो की, इस बार भी वही करेंगे।
अशोक जी, पर ये भी जो सवाल काफी लोग पूछ रहे हैं, काफी बार सामने आ रहा है कि मान लीजिए कांग्रेस राजस्थान में जीत भी जाती है, तो मुख्यमंत्री आप होंगे कि सचिन पायलट होंगे कि क्या होने वाला है?
ये सवाल सुनते नहीं हैं, ये मीडिया में बहुत बड़ा एक प्रकार से सवाल वही पूछते मीडिया वाले जो आप पूछ रहे हो, और मैं बार बार कहता हूँ आज़ादी के बाद में कभी भी राजस्थान में कोई मुख्यमंत्री चेहरा घोषित नहीं हुआ चुनाव के पहले कांग्रेस के अंदर, नंबर एक। नंबर दो, मैं मेरे बारे में कहता हूँ कि मैंने 77 टिकट मांगा था कांग्रेस का एक बार, उसके बाद में पांच बार मेंबर पार्लियामेंट बना, इंदिरा जी के साथ में, राजीव जी के साथ में, नरसिंह राव के साथ में मंत्री रहा, तीन बार में प्रदेश कांग्रेस अध्यक्ष रहा, दूसरी बार मैं हूँ AICD का महामंत्री, और दो बार मुख्यमंत्री बना 10 साल के लिए। मैंने कभी कोई पद मांगा ही नहीं, जो हाईकमान ने फैसला किया कि पार्टी इंटर में क्या होगा वो मैंने मंजूर किया, आगे भी जो फैसला हाईकमान करेगी वो मुझे मंजूर होगा, इस प्रकार से हम लोग सोच रखते हैं। ये जो बातें होती है कौन बनेगा, ये बातें पहले करने की जरूरत भी नहीं है डेमोक्रेसी के अंदर। जनता की भावना क्या है, वर्कर क्या चाहता है, और विधायक लोगों की क्या भावना रहेगी, ये सोच करके हाईकमान फैसला करेगी, वो हम सबको मंजूर होगा, ये मैं आपको दावे के साथ कह सकता हूँ। और पार्टी में जो डिसिप्लिन है, एक बार जो कांग्रेस अध्यक्ष घोषणा कर देते हैं तो उसको सबको मानना पड़ता है।
आप अशोक जी, आप डिसिप्लिन की बात कर रहे हैं, तो मैं आपसे एक सिंपल सवाल पूछता हूँ कि अगर मान लीजिए फैसला होता है कि उनको बनना है चीफ मिनिस्टर, क्या आपके समर्थक उनके पीछे आ जाएंगे? अगर आपका नाम आता है तो क्या उनके समर्थक आपको सपोर्ट करेंगे? डिसिप्लिन आप कह रहे हैं मेंटेन होगा?
ना, कोई सवाल ही नहीं होता है। जब बिना मांगे हुए आज तक पार्टी ने इतना विश्वास किया हम लोगों पर, विभिन्न पद दिए हैं, हम केंद्रीय मंत्री बनते हैं, पीसी अध्यक्ष बनते हैं, एआईसीसी में जाते हैं, तो बता दी उसके बाद में जब पार्टी हाईकमांड फैसला करती है सबको मंजूर होना चाहिए। मेरा मानना है कि इसमें कोई डिस्प्यूट है ही नहीं यहाँ पर, और सब मिलकर कैंपेन कर रहे हैं, कोई झगड़ा ही नहीं है। पर आरएसएस बीजेपी वालों ने जानबूझ के यहाँ पे इस बात को फैलाया है राजस्थान में कि कांग्रेस में तो कौन दूल्हा बनेगा। अरे उनको पूछो कि 75 डेज तक उनका बीजेपी का अध्यक्ष नहीं बन पाया, वसुंधरा जी के, नरेंद्र मोदी जी के और अमित शाह के बीच में अटका रहा वो मामला, तब जाकर के फैसला बाद में होगा मजबूरी के।
अशोक जी, एक आखिरी सवाल हमारे तरफ से, आपको क्या लगता है इन असेंबली चुनावों में जो हो रहे हैं और खासतौर से राजस्थान में, इनमें जो भी पार्टी जीतती है इसका क्या असर होगा 2019 के चुनाव पर?
देखिए, मेरी जिम्मेवारी में कह चुका हूं कि पार्टी का इंटरेस्ट कहां पर रखने में है, मुझे पार्टी हाईकमान तय करे मुझे मंजूर होगा, क्योंकि आज पार्टी में हम 44 पे है दिल्ली के अंदर है, राज्य में हम 21 पे आ गए थे, तो मेरे जैसा व्यक्ति का फर्ज बनता है कि मैं कैसे पार्टी के लिए काम करूं और वो काम करूं जिससे कि पार्टी अगर ऊपर जाए, राहुल जी के नेतृत्व में किस प्रकार हम कांग्रेस को वापस बुलंदगियों पर ले जाएं, कांग्रेस एजेंडा बुलंद रहे देश के अंदर। और मैं समझता हूं कि ये आज देश को कांग्रेस की जरूरत है, जिस प्रकार से मोदी जी ने शासन किया है, जिस प्रकार से लोकतंत्र की धज्जियां उड़ाई है, उसमें मेरा मानना है कि हमारा पहला कर्तव्य होना चाहिए कि पार्टी जो कहे, जहां आपका उपयोग है ज्यादा, जिसे पार्टी को फायदा मिले, वो उनको आदेश देना चाहिए और वो हमें मानना चाहिए, मेरा मानना है। तो ये कोई इश्यू नहीं मेरी लाइफ के अंदर तो।
ऑलराइट, अशोक जी, अशोक गहलोत, थैंक यू सो मच फॉर ज्वाइनिंग अस, बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद आप हमारे साथ थे। Right, Shaina, any quick reactions to what Ashok Gehlot had to say? He's very confident in about Rajasthan. Seems to be more the question of, you know, who's going to be the chief minister. Perhaps if that's the one state which the BJP is almost reconciling to losing, would that be a fair thing to say?
That could be your assessment. Please don't undermine the voter, and don't undermine the voter whose life has been empowered. You know, as they say in Hindi, ki jo jeeta wohi Sikandar. So I'm not going to sit here on some prophecy, but on the 11th of December when we debate again, you will realize that stalwarts who have in their respective states performed, and a prime minister who has performed and traveled the length and breadth of this country, are far more acceptable than a party that really has no vision plan and only plays theatrics, photo ops and sensational commentary. So it's the easiest thing is to rubbish off and say kuch kaam nahi hua. Are you talk about jobs, I understand that their employment could be a segment that we need to address more severely and more seriously, but look at the amount of data which is going unnoticed in terms of unorganized labor or labor which is not under the radar, young entrepreneurs who are working out of their laptops using technology. Does that not amount to jobs? Does that not amount to a progress of the country? And for those who are part of a skill development vocational training program which do not get counted under the regular database that we have for employment, okay. Come on, Vikram. I mean, the easiest thing is to sit there and critique and say that we will change things for the farmers overnight. How are you going to, if we have worked with tangible policies that have percolated down to the poorest of poor, right. Are you not going to appreciate that? Or do you
actually,
have a
it's not for anybody to appreciate it, China, other than the voters. We know whether the voters are appreciating it or not.
You have had loan waivers in Maharashtra and Uttar Pradesh.
Vikram, you can't allow one person to just hold court and just give an election speech. Is it a platform for her to campaign or what?
One sec. We just heard Mr. Ashok Gehlot speaking at great length. Pavan, let's be fair out here. You know, so he's also, what Mr. Gehlot was saying is also relevant. So, okay, now we have to hear Shaina also. Now,
but actually, you said he was a special guest, fair enough. Now, let's have a debate.
Okay, I'm getting back to it, but can I manage it as to which first, because I want to take some Twitter questions first or Twitter comments first. So, here are three or four interesting things that have come in. At Ambedkarite, Harsh has said, only 5, but there was a very narrow margin in Madhya Pradesh. Congress can make a post-election alliance with the BSP and the CJC. Is that at all a possibility? I'm going to ask you, Mr. Bhadauria, that question. And at Tushar Kulkarni says, engineering college in Bhopal on the verge of shutdown, almost zero job opportunities. Jobs are really problematic. Flights from Bhopal are almost negligible. Okay, I'm going to throw those questions, but Smita, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I was, you asked a couple of questions to Mr. Gehlot, and I just wanted to say that you know, when you asked him about who will be the chief minister and will the supporters of Pilot support Gehlot if Gehlot is the prime minister, and will the supporters of Gehlot support Pilot if Pilot is the chief minister? I think after the Karnataka elections, one has seen that the Congress party has now decided that they are going to keep a state regardless of how it happens, and they get their team together. I think whoever becomes the chief minister of Rajasthan, if the Congress wins, it is going to be the entire party supporting the chief minister
candidate. So the Congress party, and actually we have seen this in Madhya Pradesh also. Yeah, perhaps the Congress party is figuring out how to handle infighting to a better extent.
There is, of course, there are divergent views, about who should be the leader. But once the selection has been done, as Mr. Gehlot said, discipline, if top down, once the decision is taken. And another question which you asked right at the beginning, which nobody answered, was that will a win in all states or some states or loss in all states or some states have any impact on Rahul Gandhi's leadership in the Congress? I think two of us journalists out here can categorically say that I don't think it's going to result in any change in leadership in either the Congress or the BJP in case either party loses all 5 states or wins all 5 states.
Yeah.
Modi stays, Modi and Amit Shah will stay at the leadership helm of the BJP, and Rahul Gandhi will continue to stay. Now it comes to the question, also that when you ask the question to Mr. Gehlot and he listed out all the posts that he's held, also a pointer to the fact that many in the Congress party, when they head towards 2019, the vintage of Mr. Gehlot or, Mr. Ahmed Patel and several others, it's going to be probably their last full-on election that they're talking about. 5 years from now, they will really be, in a Margdarshan kind of committee in the Congress party if they lose this election. So winning this election in 2019 is extremely important. And hence, I think, for Mr. Gehlot to Rajasthan is very, very important.
Yeah, I guess all elections are important. They want to ask you, Ruhi, as a journalist here,
right,
do you agree with her that the Congress is become better at managing egos and infighting than it once was?
Well, it's
we were saying that it's been a more peaceful election than many were fearing in general. Would the Congress also be heaving a sigh of relief that somehow all leaders seem to have pulled together to a greater extent than they may have felt?
I'm not sure how it's really translating on the ground. I've not traveled to Rajasthan really, but at least in Madhya Pradesh, there is still factionalism, there is still infighting, and the big question in the voters' mind is who versus Shivraj Singh Chauhan. I think Mr. Modi has made politics very personality driven now. Mr. Gehlot was saying ki azadi ke baad se Congress ne kabhi ghoshit nahi kiya hai apna mukhyamantri ka candidate umidwar. I think the Congress needs to also realize it needs to change its politics a little bit. It's a bit anachronistic to think that the voter is not looking for a face. Unfortunately, the Congress does not have a national face who's as popular across states, It helped the Congress in Punjab, for instance, when they had Captain Amrinder Singh as a clear declared face. I think it would have helped the Congress more if they had a face, given they have the options in both Rajasthan and Madhya Pradesh to pick a face.
Okay, should the Congress have picked a face? Pavan, I'm going to throw that to you along with this. A tweet which has come up from Abhinav. Do remember the show has been done in partnership with Twitter. So Abhinav tweeted, Congress should give the country an alternative to the BJP, but since the Gujarat elections, they're using soft Hindutva. So now we're not sure whether the Congress is secular anymore. If there's no difference, then why should voters choose the Congress over the BJP?
Interesting.
Pavan?
The question for me, has that been...
I will come to that question.
I'll start. Give me some time. I'll start with my friend China NC saying that unorganized sector has done very well. I'm sorry, demonetization has destroyed the unorganized sector.
Let's come back to this. I only have 5 minutes more and I'm just trying to get the answers.
Number two, I'm coming to that. No. I didn't interrupt, so let me finish. I know I'm coming to that. Ruhi, who was the face of BJP in Maharashtra? Don't say it was Modi, it was not. Who was the face of BJP in Haryana, Uttar Pradesh, Jharkhand and Maharashtra?
When it comes to BJP, Congress, there should be a face.
When it comes to the BJP, BJP, Modi is the face. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
Modi is not the face.
People, if you had a leader like Modi, then you would make him a
face. Exactly. Unfortunately, the Congress doesn't have that advantage.
You don't have that face.
Let me finish. They know they are electing a chief minister and Modi cannot be the chief minister. So that's a very strange argument you offer, which is different for the Congress and different for the BJP. No, people are not looking for faces, they are looking for issues. I know for a fact that in Rajasthan, people go through the manifesto, then tweet about it, go on Facebook, they question us, they confront us, that's what happens. I think you are living in 19th century as far as the Indian voter is concerned. Indian voter has moved on to the 21st century. You may like to believe it otherwise. Now, when it comes to the soft Hindutva part, no, it's not that. Simple thing, BJP's narrative is always, this is an anti-Hindu party. Shouldn't we respond to that as a sensitive party? Of course we'll respond to that. What is soft Hindutva about it? Hindutva does not mean what BJP professes to be Hindutva. RSS Hindutva is not Hindutva. Hindutva means accept everybody, take everybody along. And that's what the Congress has always been. No, if you want to believe that RSS is the definition of Hindutva, then Hindutva is not Hindutva.
आप हिंदुत्व बोल रहे हैं हिंदुइज्म कह रहे हैं
या आई एम जस्ट ट्राइंग टू आस्क यू पवन डिड यू मिस स्पीक राइट
नाउ देखिए आप ये हिंदी अंग्रेजी का अनुवाद आप कर लीजिएगा स्मिता प्रकाश जी हिंदू धर्म अपने आप में एक सेक्युलर धर्म है
हिंदुत्व डू यू मीन हिंदुइज्म आई कैन आस्क यू इन सेवरल लैंग्वेजेस व्हिच वन डू यू वांट पंजाबी या
हिंदू रिलीजन दैट्स फॉर यू टू डिफाइन you understand better languages more languages I give it to you But the fact of the matter is Hindu religion per se is a secular religion. Those who don't believe it are the adherents of the Nagpur school of thought or Nagpur nursery of thought, Nagpur kindergarten of thought. The rest of us know what Hinduism is, what Hindu religion is.
Okay. China. No, actually, hang on. China, before I
you
come
You won't
to
understand.
China.
You can. We
okay,
can have
China,
a debate
China,
on this.
Pavan. Pavan, I'm reaching the end of the program. Want to try
any religion which has no book,
also.
Which does not follow one book. Is okay. not a religion per se. It's a way of life, and okay. a way of life can be secular, and that's what
okay.
people
okay, okay,
are
okay, Mr. Badoria,
is that clear, or you want to have a debate
for you,
on that?
Mr. Badoria, the question for you was posed.
We can have a debate on that.
Alliance. Could the BSP come to the Congress assistance if they're a little short in Madhya Pradesh and you have 4 or 5 seats?
Well, this question which you told me is from an Ambedkarite, and on the Twitter handle, I see that there is a lot of spontaneous support from the Dalit activists for the Bahujan Samaj Party, and they are concerned, and I share their concern. But let me say this, that in this election, as in the past in the assembly elections, the Congress party wants to play solo. So therefore, we who had though proven in Karnataka that we would prefer a secular government, we will try and work towards it. But let me say this. That this would all depend on the other party, how they respond when the election results are out. But more certainly, the Congress has shown in the past, particularly during these state assembly elections, that they want to remain all alone, they want to go all alone. And that is what they want to do, even post-election, as we understand it.
All right. So, Shaina, last quick question to you, and then I want to get a couple of comments from the audience before I have to wrap. Shaina, on the question of alliances, in Telangana, is it really alliances that you are banking on? In Rajasthan, well, Rajasthan is going to be just a two-horse race, so I'm not sure it's even worth referring to it. In Chhattisgarh and in Madhya Pradesh, if it's really tight and one seat here and there, do you think the Congress would find it easier to get partners than you would?
Firstly, I just want to make a comment. Pavanji has suddenly realized that there is a necessity to specify that they are a Hindu party as well. For us, Hindutva means justice to all and appeasement to none.
I never said that.
Unlike the Congress
you
party,
you don't understand
only
what I said because you don't understand
appeasement
what is Hindu religion.
Up until they, now, they were appeasing segments of society and now they've suddenly started
India
temple hopping
and let her
believing
answer.
The
same.
Pavan,
let us
see.
You is an aberration.
Message to public at large.
Okay, Shaina, we heard you. I think,
sir, ever since you said don't interrupt, I haven't interrupted you. You got my point. Let's not play opportunistic politics
no,
and then
suddenly
believe that this
to what
is
I have to
your
say,
idea of
and you are misquoting me. I better correct
one.
You.
Now
I cannot allow you to misquote me like that.
Okay, Pavan,
I'll
let us speak. I'm only 1 minute
but
left
I can't
the show.
Allow that to happen with me.
Okay, Pavan, allow her to finish up.
Let
no,
the
China,
decide.
Misquote me,
Pavan,
please.
Please.
That's
not fair. Pavan, please. Now, China,
I just want to make one
as an anchor, you should not allow her to misquote me. And if you cannot stop her, I will stop her.
You talked about
me.
Okay. Fine, Pavan. Now, can we just get China to answer on alliances? China alliances.
As an anchor, I'm just reminding you, it was
you
your
know,
job to
all right,
sure that
all right.
Today,
I can't prevent China from saying anything. I can't
December,
say can assembly allow to finish
what
she's
saying. On the 11th of December, I fathom to
nobody
think
can
what
be
the
allowed
response
to misquote anybody.
I really fathom
why should
think what the response will be. You talked about the allies. Let me just say, when it comes to opportunistic politics, we are not going to do it for the lust of power. If there is a necessity where you can ensure a stable, good governance under a stable leadership, that could be a possibility in one odd state. But as I see it, I don't think there is going to be requirement of that because the BJP
okay.
will come back in full force and mark these words on the 11th of December when we debate.
All right, we're going to find out the answers to all of this on the 11th of December. We've been taking lots of comments on Twitter. I don't want this audience to feel that they should have tweeted us instead of being here in person. So, quick couple of comments. Here, a gentleman there with the mic. We only have a minute or two to go.
My question is Shaina ma'am. Shaina ma'am, you have said that today BJP is a government of 20 more states. So, is it not that it is 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 not that वोटिंग की बात आई, वोटिंग का वक्त आया तो उद्धव ठाकरे को अयोध्या भेज दिया गया।
30 सेकंड बचे हैं, आपका सवाल आगे, एक और जल्दी से कमेंट अगर, let's give the mic to him. One quick comment.
As we know that our Prime Minister introduced one nation, one tax 1 year before. Whole debate is focusing on one nation, one election. I want the opinion from all the panelists.
Well, you don't
single.
Have time to get opinions from all the panelists, but... okay, just one. China has been accused of opportunistic politics, but you want to quickly respond to that in one line, then I have to
you
end
see,
the
we
show.
We have a federal system, and in the federal system, you will have to give opportunity to the provinces and to the.
Okay.
You will have to be governed by the constitution.
Okay. China just respond to that question on opportunistic politics.
You, but the constitution does not provide for
okay.
what you are trying to ask.
China, just respond
there
on the
no
opportunistic
politics. Look, triple talaq is a criminal offense. That is a fight for women's dignity and equality, which goes way beyond any kind of political ideology. It is for the women of this country, and that yachika was that petition was a part of lakhs and lakhs of Indian Muslim women. You talk about Sabarimala, it's a matter of faith. If the devotees themselves want to be heard, all stakeholders need to be a part of a petition, okay. which is for the Supreme Court to decide. And of course, there is a matter of belief which goes way beyond. Don't mix up criminal offenses to a matter of belief. And for all those who believe that this is positioning, it is
right.
not positioning, it is public outcry which wants to be heard
okay.
at various levels.
I have to end it there. I have to end it there. This is a special edition of The Big Fight in partnership with Twitter. Lots and lots of questions coming up. Hey, you can continue this off, online in a sense by keeping the debate going on Twitter if you so want. Thank you all so much for having joined us. I'd like to thank all of our panelists as well. We'll be back with The Big Fight next week.